SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Call it hour three. We're about 15 minutes in after a terrific visit from Randy Moss and another, boy, the Hot Springs natives, they're piling up. David Hill last week and Randy Moss just now. And we've got Ron Moquette. Now, Moquette, he literally, I think, was born on the state line, literally, right, between Oklahoma and Arkansas.
Yeah, Ron Moquette joins us. I always tell people that whoever had the better basketball or football team, that's the state I claimed.
Well, we did have a special moment last week. Were you listening when Danny Pites called the Hogs?
Oh yeah, that was lovely. We have one of the oddest battle cries in the world, but I think it's very cool.
Well, that was fun, and we've invoked the Woo Pig Suey, but we got an authentic call, and I got the hat. My man Elliot Clegg, and not only did Elliot come through with a couple of caps, including the Arkansas cap, but he gave me a Little Feet CD, and
he's a big fan.
Really appreciate it. People so nice, Ron. You get there at Oakland, and people are so nice.
It's a throwback spot, that place.
Yep. Well, you finished the meet with a flurry, and you know those people listening know that we're going to talk about Whitmore's win, but even before Whitmore, you basically sent out your last three starters at the Oaklawn meet, all winners. Treble won the fifth. Then Powerfell Ally wins the seventh, and I was delighted for Alex Lieblong and Joanne. A great way to end the meet for them. And then Whitmore, who looked beaten at the top of the stretch and unleashed an unbelievable kick to reprise the Count Fleet.
Yeah, I was very excited. Anytime you can win on a big day like that with 65,000 of your closest friends and neighbors there, and you win for the right connection to allow you to do right by the horses. And, you know, last year this time we were kicking out Treble and we were backing up, going slow with Powerful Ally, and for them both to come back and win big purses on the big day there with, all the crowd and stuff. It was, and then obviously what Whitmore did, it was very rewarding for all the people that let us do what we want to with the horses.
Hey, talk about Whitmore, and then we'll pick a couple of other spots and talk about what else is going on in the barn. And, you know, you look at him at what, age five? Not, yeah, five.
Yeah, he's five.
And I was looking at, in fact, it's funny, I was looking at some old Derby box scores, and you know, there he is in 2016 behind Nyquist. Subsequently, I mean, he's really crafted a sprint career. And, you know, he's an example of a horse, Ron, that people say, oh, the Derby, and it ruins horses. Well, it didn't hurt him.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously ran in the Arkansas Derby, and we got beat that year by Creator. We ran third. And so we went to the Kentucky Derby off that, and then we give him a little bit of time after that race, like 5 months out, and brought him back as a sprinter, and for the last 2 years. So every year since the Arkansas Derby, he's run on that weekend, and he's always brought a pretty sensational effort for that weekend. And you got to feel confident that if you can go through the rigors of getting to the Derby and then get back to be a consistent performer, you feel like you've got a pretty cool horse.
The thing that's interesting is that it's one thing for him to set up behind the speed, there are occasions when he falls further behind, and you know, it certainly felt like Ricardo Santana, you know, wasn't concerned. It wasn't like he was trying to motivate him. He was letting him kind of lope along, and he fell out of it a little bit.
You know, that morning, Ricardo and I talk a lot, and you know, we're pretty close. And that morning, he called and said, "What do you think?" And we talked about a couple of the other horses he was riding, and then we talked about Whitmore. And I said, "You know, there's a couple guys that's in there that they have no shot but to go to the front." I said, "You're versatile, and you can do whatever you want to do. If you want to come off of it a little bit, do that. I think we get paid down the stretch, whether you're in front of the stretch or not. The only problem I've ever had is sometimes he gets a little lackadaisical when he makes the lead too early." So I basically gave him some instructions that could have cost us the race. I had no idea that they would go that slow on the front end with the speed that was in there. And anyways, he was sitting there relaxed, and then we come up behind a horse and got in a little trouble on the turn. And you know, it goes into one of those deals where, you know, good horses find a way to win a race. And he's got a lot of ability and ton of heart. And Ricardo put him in a position to overcome my bad instructions.
Well, you come away with a second Count Fleet and did it in exciting fashion. It puts a big exclamation point on the season. You had a very, you know, very good Oaklawn campaign start to finish. Last year, Del Mar really, the race was kind of over early for him, trying to get back, I suppose, to Breeders' Cup this year at Churchill. Talk about your thoughts as you plot a course for 2018 the rest of the way.
Well, the main objective is obviously that race, and then other than that, just keep him happy and healthy and ready to fire a big race on that day. I'm very happy that this year we get to just walk out of our stall. I do think that's a big deal. It's hard for me to ship a horse to California and not think that it affects them a little bit. I know a lot of good horsemen do it all the time, but I haven't seemed to have been able to get a good trip out there. And I just think I'd like to try it once where it's in our backyard. He's already got a win over this surface, and you know, he's already there. You know, he's sitting there right now, and he'll spend the majority of the time between then and the Breeders' Cup at Churchill. So, yeah, I'm very, you know, hopeful that everything goes smooth between here and there, and we get to, you know, lead him over, which probably is going to be a very good race. It usually is, and it's the most exciting for me for sure. Other than that, we're just going to let him have fun between here and there and try to find some spots that he looks good in and see what we can do.
Well, Whitmore piling up a little bit in terms of wins and the earnings, 10th career win and the 18th career start. I mean, think about that. And this was worth $240,000. So he's eclipsed $1.5 million, a five-year-old gelding who, you know, is basically, I won't say mid-career, but he's in full swing, and he'll be a lot more fun yet for that nice partnership group and Southern Springs, Bob LaPenta involved, as well as Sal Cuman, and Whitmore presses
forward. We
got
some awesome people behind him. You know, it's funny. I've never had a horse that had this many people like him. It's not quite like Chindy was, you know. But in the Midwest, they love their sprinters. And I think that Saul was there and he got to see him. I mean, they were chanting his name when he went back in the winner's circle. And I don't see that very often. And I could hear it. I think Saul and everybody understood there just all the people, just how much people love sprint horses in the Midwest. The way that everybody loves Chindy, that was the 20th anniversary of his Count Fleet. And that's what I told the hobby and Rand Ricks, is that the reason we come from so far out of it is we was doing our paying homage to Chindy on the anniversary.
I love it. Well, he'll press forward, and at the same time, the other, you know, the other winners, the allowance win and the maiden win, that treble for Rialto and Southern Springs, and that was an impressive effort.
Yeah, she's figuring it out. She's a good filly, and she's got a really nice cruising speed is the thing, and she's looks like she's ready to make a mark this year. I'm very excited about Powerful Ally. You know, to win from outside there, going that distance at Oaklawn is not as easy as people think. And I was really, really proud of the race that he ran, and I expected him to run good. But when we drew the outside, I mean, I was back and forth about even running him, because you know you just have to commit so hard on that short run up there. But very proud of his progress, and I expect to see him move forward.
Well, and I had seen Alex earlier, Alex Lieblong, and he said he had one running there and one running at Keeneland, and you know, even though it wasn't stakes company, you know, he was looking forward to it, and so I was happy for the Lieblongs. And you know, you might have won four on the day, but little did you know what Donnie Von Hemel had been cooking up all meet, because he saved that CP quality. And don't tell me, a guy who never wins first out, he had that one for Ev Dobson, and he saved CP quality, and it beat you in Callaloo.
Yeah. You know, one thing I know about growing up around the Von Hemels is their horses. and whenever they mean one to do something, it's going to do it. And you got to give a lot of respect for them. And Callaloo will get a win. She'll figure it out. I'd rather have won that day, because that would have been four in a day for me on Derby Day, and that would have been huge. But having said that, that filly was well meant. And, you know, it's a homebred, and by a sire that he trained and had luck with. And so I'm sure that made their Derby Day as well.
No doubt. And you know, then if I said that to Donnie, apparently the barn was, they were lined as soon as the horse went out for the post parade, everybody at the barn was sending in tickets. But if you said that to Donnie, he'd give you one of those aw shucks.
Yeah, no, he's real good at that. I've been around him for a while. He's pretty unassuming, but he's super sharp. There's a lot of really good horsemen over there, and he's definitely one of them.
Well, in addition to training the horses and getting them into these spots to win stakes and win on big days, you're also clearly a top sire. I had a chance to talk to Chance, your son, and he was handling the paddock responsibilities, and what a nice young man.
Oh yeah, I'm proud of. I mean, everybody should be, but I'm super proud of my kids and all of them. And Chance is he is my ambassador for the races. He grew up in it. I mean, I've got pictures of him sitting on my lap and you know, watching horses train when he was a little baby. And there is no bigger fan of horse racing. He doesn't do it for a living. He's got we joke around. He's got a real job, but he gives me every bit of information, and he finds it before I do. And, you know, hey, did you know so-and-so worked here the other day and this? And so he's very excited, and he carries a lot of enthusiasm. And if I have a down day, which you can here in this game, he'll call me and pump me up. And what a blessing it is to have a son that's that infected by what is my favorite sport.
Well, lots to look forward to. And you mentioned getting back to Churchill. I saw you made the drive yesterday. And Keeneland, you'll be involved. And I want to know about this first-time starter that's coming up for the Lieblongs, Water Moccasin.
Yeah, probably one of the coolest named horses.
Yeah,
love it. You know, it's one of those deals where he's a big, long horse that takes a long time to get involved. When the light comes on, he'll be a fun horse. It's not my deal to start one first time out two turns on the turf, but that seems to be what his abilities are saying, that he wants to go long on the turf. So when you enter in a maiden special weight at Keeneland on the turf or anywhere, you better be ready to run. So we've got him as fit as we can get him without a race, and we think we have him as prepared. Now we'll see if he's mentally enough to do to put on a good show. But I know when that pedigree kicks in, and if we get any kind of break at all, he'll be fighting down the stretch because he's a pretty game horse.
Interesting, and he's an Uncle Mo, and he's out of a War Chant mare, and I'm going to assume that's where the turf interest is coming from.
Yeah, I guess, from the very first time that I had him and worked him, I thought, wow, looks like he's going to be a nice turf horse. And I have him at Oaklawn a little bit, and then we decided that the track was a little inconsistent, so we can move forward faster at Evangel because that's the weather's better. So we sent him over there to get him legged up, and everybody says he can handle the dirt very well, but I just always thought that it just sticks in my head that he looks like he's a turf horse.
Interesting. And I'm just looking, he's a half to a horse I remember, Tug of War, who I want to say Jimmy Jerkins trained, and was a $400,000 winner. Wasn't a turf horse himself. It was a versatile horse that won going long and short on the main, but kind of interesting. And Lake Champlain herself, got to check about her and see how she how she fared. And I'm just assuming the War Chant portion of the equation is where that's coming from. Now, Ron, looking forward to seeing you in Kentucky. Good luck on Thursday. Water Moccasin in the ninth at Keeneland for the Lee Blancs, and a lot of fun things seem afoot for the whole barn. Great job at Oaklawn.
Hey, thank you very much. I was glad you got to come hang out with us. You know, we love having you there, and next year it'll be another fun year. But now we move on to Saratoga and Keeneland and Churchill and all the stuff that comes in between. So we're ready.
Well, looking forward to seeing you, Ron Moquette, everybody. Which Twitter account do you want people to follow? The Moquette Racing or the personal account?
Well, the Moquette Racing, we just put, all we do is put down stuff about the barn. If you want to make fun of me and have some fun, it's always better to follow just me, because I'll say stuff about like the trips and that kind of stuff, where I just keep it strictly business on Moquette Racing. So if anybody wants to see how we ran or what we're entering, I put that. So that's, I think that it's a lot more fun following me because I retweet a lot of funny stuff.
Well, and you can weigh in on the most important thing to happen on Twitter all weekend. And that was Graham Motion, who slighted Waffle House in favor of Cracker Barrel. And I what's your input on this?
Okay. Now this is a big thing for me. This is when you're talking breakfast, Waffle House basically has a jukebox. All right. So you got to give that point goes to Waffle House, and Cracker Barrel ain't open 24 hours a day. So, there's that. So you got to favor, when you're making a decision, you got to put all the facts in. And I like Cracker Barrel quite a bit, but there's certain times that you want a waffle. So, I mean, I'm going to be political about it. I'm not going to commit.
See, now you're walking down the middle of the road. You're going to get run over.
Motion. We have a Waffle House right by my house. But I've never taken a client to Waffle House. I've had several clients take me to Cracker Barrel. We don't go to fancy places to eat because I can't stay up at night. But my clients will all take me to breakfast, and we'll go to Cracker Barrel. So I took Bernie there once, Bernie Flint, and he was not a fan. Bernie was very loud.
He didn't like Cracker Barrel or he didn't like Waffle House?
No, Cracker Barrel. We had to wait, and it was church time, and church let out, so we had to wait in line. And Bernie is not a waiter at all. He doesn't do that well. So we finally got in there, and an owner called about was questioning whether he should geld a horse or not. And Bernie does not have an inside voice. So we're side by side with people who just left church, and Bernie will every now and then mix in a colorful word. And whenever he was telling his assistant about why he wanted to geld the horse, it was quite embarrassing for me at the time. So I was like trying to climb under the table, and Bernie with that big loud voice goes, "Let me go. Moquette's got me in here with all these blue haired mothers." So I was like, "Okay, well, this is it.
And it's my last time at Cracker Barrel."
Yeah, no, me and Asmussen will go, me and Javi will go, and a lot of my partners will go with me, but no Bernie.
Well, he'll take you to Brennan's, though, some eggs, Saint-Jacques, and you know, a little etouffee in the morning.
You know, that's the best interview. When you get Bernie on here, that's what I want to hear, and get him really on there. That'll be the best interview in the world.
He's been on, but he's very polite with me when he's on the air.
Well, he's a sharp guy, but if you can ever get the real Bernie, I promise you, it's better than anything we can find, because he is a walking entertainment variety show.
I love it. Well, for that we usually reach for Proctor or for Romans. The three of them, they all shop in the same kind of men's store.
Yeah, but it works for them. I see them all winning races and having good careers and smiling, and they seem a lot happier than skinny folk.
Love it. Ron, this is so great. Thanks so much. I'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Ron Moquette, everybody. You just... so much fun. Let's take a break. We're in real trouble here because we're going to squeeze either John White or Jeremy Plonk, and we'll let them arm wrestle. And since John White was invoked by Randy Moss and the story of the water running down the stretch at Oaklawn, I think we got to go to John, and we got lots to do. So we'll get to Jeremy tomorrow, and I'll leave it in Casey's able hands. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Hey folks, Eddie Olczyk here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Maryland for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vaughn, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you move in right up close to me, that's when I get the shakes all over me. Quivers down the backbone. Shaking all over.
We're back at the races, last break of the morning. What's been a busy morning, visits with Ron Moquette and Brad Cox, Randy Moss and Shug McGahee, as well as Andy Serling, and coming back with John White to close out the morning. And John was already invoked, and I'm guessing you might have been listening when Randy Moss told the story of how it was discovered that the Oaklawn homestretch runs downhill. Good morning, John White.
Good morning, Steve. A week ago, you and I were sitting across from each other at Santa Anita. It's hard to believe, as you've been on the traveling tour. And yes, I remember that very vividly with Randy. And what had happened, I had never been to Oaklawn at that particular point, and I said, I'd like to go visit it, even though they're not racing right now. And so we got in his little Datsun and drove to Hot Springs, and I spent the night at his home, and we went out to Oaklawn, and I wanted very much to meet Mr. Bishop, because he was like Mr. Kilroe at Santa Anita, someone that was so highly respected in racing. And Mr. Bishop had been mentioned a lot by Charles Hatton. I'd read so much Hatton stuff, and so I really wanted to meet Mr. Bishop and Randy. And that's kind of funny, too. Randy took me into the racing office area, and Mr. Bishop was there, and he wasn't all that dressed up that morning. And Randy introduced me to him, but he didn't say who it was. And Randy knew who Mr. Bishop was. I didn't know. And for all I knew, the guy was like just an employee at the track or something. And so we talked a little bit, and then we walked out, and Randy says, well, you sure didn't talk to Mr. Bishop very long. I said, Randy, I didn't know that was Mr. Bishop. You didn't tell me. So I said, let's go back. And so we did. We went back, and Mr. Bishop took us to his office, and we sat down, and he spoke for like a half hour. I pumped him about Charles Hatton and so forth, because he knew Hatton. And at that particular time in 1980, I wasn't the chart caller at Louisiana Downs. Mitch Allen was, but I was a columnist and reporter, much like Steve Anderson these days in Southern California, David Grinning in New York. And I was trying hard to work my way up with the racing form to get to Southern California. The form was trying to kind of push me to New York, but I was trying to push myself to Southern California. And it was at that meet that I really learned the value of speed figures, because Randy was in the early stages of the speed figures, and I was kind of mocking him about that, but he showed me the value of them very much. I was able to show him pretty much the real value of trip handicapping at that time, because I had been a chart caller and had really incorporated trip handicapping into my handicapping. So between the two of us, whenever he had a horse he liked from a speed figure standpoint, and I happened to like the same horse from a trip standpoint, we were pretty dynamite at that 1980 Louisiana Downs meet. We were like two kids in a candy store if we happened to like the same horse. So, and then a couple of other little tidbits on Randy. At that meet, he was calling in radio results, and I was calling in radio results, and this jockey at one of the stations I was calling radio results into, one day he says, are you married? You got a girlfriend? And I said, no and no. And he says, well, there's a girl here. Maybe you'd like to take her out. She's a really nice girl and this and that. And I said, well, sure. So I told Randy, and he started to give me the heebie-jeebies, because he says, John, blind dates never work out. He says, they're disasters. He says, I'm telling you, you better forget it. Call the guy back up and cancel. And I said, no, I already committed, and I'll do it. And so this is the thing I remember the most about that. Randy says, well, here's what you need to do. Put a basketball in your back seat. And I said, why would I do that? And he says, well, if the thing turns out like a disaster, as I expect it will, then you can tell her, look, I got to go play basketball, so you can cut the date short. So Randy kind of had this little angle for me to, and it turned out to be a nice date, but, you know, not a life changer. And but Randy was the guy that, as I've mentioned on your show before, when I did get promoted to Southern California, which was the following spring, 1981, to be a columnist and reporter, I called Randy up to tell him the good news, and he said, listen, he said, there's a girl in California you need to look up, because he says, I've gotten to know her at the Kentucky Derby. You two guys, I know, would just hit it off. And, of course, that turned out to be my future wife, Tracy Gantz, and we're still married after all these years. So, when we were there that day, and as Randy said, we went up into the grandstand, and I looked at Randy and I said, Randy, I said, did you realize this stretch goes downhill? Now, this is the part he kind of evidently didn't remember that much. He said, you're nuts. Are you crazy? He said, I've been coming to the races here practically my whole life. Nobody has ever said that. There's no way this thing's downhill. And I said, but look. I said, look how it's draining. I said, I'm telling you, it's downhill. What was funny was, as I say, the next spring I got promoted to Southern California, and it was just maybe like about 3 years later, around 1984, that I get a phone call in the middle of the afternoon out of the blue, and it's Randy, and he goes, hey, John, Randy Moss. And I said, hey, Randy, how's it going? He goes, do you remember that day we went to Oaklawn Park and you told me that the stretch goes partly downhill? And I said, yeah, sure, I remember that. And he says, well, it turns out you were right. We took the guys out there and quantified that, and it actually does go downhill a little bit. So those are fond memories. Randy and I had some great, great times at that 1980 Louisiana Downs meet, that's for sure. And that was the year of the very first Super Derby, and that was the first year that there was a turf course in that part of the country. Randy and you were talking about a possible turf course at Oaklawn. But when Louisiana Downs put that turf course in 1980, do you realize the nearest turf course in the central United States was Arlington Park? There wasn't any racing in Texas. There wasn't any racing in Oklahoma. There were no turf courses in Kentucky at that time. I mean, you had to go to Arlington or Florida for the closest turf course. When Louisiana Downs put what they called at that time the Sawyer Turf Course in 1980. So that was a big deal at Louisiana Downs. And, of course, again, as I say, at that same meet, they came up with the Super Derby, which was a very important race on the three-year-old calendar for many, many years. Unfortunately, it's fallen on hard times and more or less been really taken, its place has been taken by the Pennsylvania Derby.
Well, and after the one-year experiment on the grass, they're going back to the dirt this year.
I saw
John,
that,
let's talk about, let's talk about the Derby, the way we're leaning and the way things are shaping up. We'll save... we got about 7-8 minutes, so we'll use the opportunity to talk the morning line number as a working, just as a working frame. I asked you to do this last year. We had a lot of fun off of it too, and I'm looking at it. You sent it to me, and I'm going to send it up on Twitter. Justify going in, it seems, as a clear favorite. Talk about your thinking.
Well, Justify, I was kind of debating between 5-2, 3-1. I think he will be in that area, which for 20 separate betting interests, that's a pretty strong favorite. And I certainly see that he will be the favorite. Now, something Randy said that resonates with me and I think could come into play too, there are going to be a lot of people lining up to bet against him, and not only because he's basically had, you know, everything his own way in short field so far, but he didn't race as a two-year-old. He is light in experience. I mean, these are good reasons. I mean, I like Justify for the Kentucky Derby, and he's got three strikes in my strike system, and no horse in the last 45 years has won the Derby with more than two strikes other than Mind That Bird, who had four. So, I mean, I'm even, you know, worried about the historical situation here with Justify, but he just seems to be such a prodigious talent that I feel like, you know, he's one of those horses that can do these things that a mere mortal horse can't do. But this is a, when you get into a 20-horse Kentucky Derby, I mean, there's going to be plenty of people that aren't going to be too eager to bet on Justify at a short price. And I understand it, and that could actually make him not a, as strong a favorite as 5-2 or 3-1. Mendelssohn's another kind of tricky one. You know, I'm not too, I don't, I'm basically making him co-second favorite because of the fact that, you know, that race in Dubai was so sensational, but if it was just that, I wouldn't make him the co-second favorite. But it's also the fact that he's come to the United States and won a Breeders' Cup race already. Plus, he's a $3 million colt. Plus, he's in world-class, has world-class connections. I mean, there's so much to like there. And he has gotten support in Las Vegas and also in the Churchill Downs pools. And those are big clues. Those are the same clues I was using to make Justify a 4-5 favorite over both the Oro and the Santa Anita Derby. So, and, of course, Mike Battaglia will be making the official Churchill Downs morning line and has done so ever since, I think, the Pilgrims came to the United States. So then after, with Mendelssohn as a co-second favorite, Magnum Moon, which, how interesting is this? I mean, if this is right, and it's going to be in, kind of in the ballpark, I mean, Magnum Moon is certainly going to be one of the, like, the top five bet horses in the race for sure. You're looking at two of the prominent horses here that didn't race as a two-year-old, and that's going to be one of the big storylines. I mean, we're going to hear the word Apollo 8 billion times between now and the first Saturday of May, for sure. So, but this Magnum Moon is, I mean, what is there to really knock too much? Although, personally, I did not like the way he was drifting out in the Arkansas Derby. But, you know, he's a very talented colt that you have to take very, very seriously here. In fact, I wrote in my ExpressBet.com column several weeks ago, I felt there were two serious colts that were going to seriously threaten this Apollo situation, and the two were Justify and Magnum Moon. And since then, Justify's won the Santa Anita Derby by 3 lengths, and Magnum Moon won the Arkansas Derby by 4 lengths. So they've only bolstered what I had written several weeks ago. And then you get into kind of the next group, which I think is Audible, both the Oro and Good Magic. Now, Good Magic's one, I'm not, he's kind of tricky. I he might get some play, he might not. But he is, you know, the Eclipse Award winner. He's going to be his, in his third start off a layoff, which was the situation that produced his Breeders' Cup win last year. On the other hand, you know, he ran that disappointing race in his first start, but he bounced back from that, and it looks like to me Chad Brown's going to have him ready to peak on Derby Day. So Good Magic's a horse that, you know, I'm not sure how much play he'll get, but I think you got to put him under 10-1 for sure. And I personally, and I think Bolt the Oro, he's kind of tricky. You don't know how many people are going to kind of start jumping ship from him a little bit when he hasn't, you know, finished first in a race since the front runner. I mean, you know, he did get moved up on the DQ in the San Felipe, but as far as finishing first in a race, it's been quite a while for him. But he's going to have a very successful Kentucky Derby jockey in Victor Espinosa now. So, you know, there's that he has going for him. And then once you get past Justify, Magnum Moon, Mendelssohn, Audible, Bolt Oro, and Good Magic, I think then you go into kind of the next bunch for sure, which I think are double-digit horses. Although I think Vino Rosso's kind of interesting, and he could get some play. He could come around to 10-1, 12-1, 9-1, somewhere in that vicinity. But in order to balance your line, you got to push horses up, and so I made him 15. A horse that I personally like, so it's kind of when you get to where you have personal thinking, it's hard to try to detach yourself totally from it. But My Boy Jack, to me, certainly for a horse to hit the board. Now, how much money he's going to get bet on him to win is, you know, I don't think he's going to get a lot. But I sure think he's a very live horse. This was a prep, this Lexington deal here. At a distance, it's, I think he'll certainly appreciate a mile and a quarter a lot more than a mile and a 16th. And I was talking with Kent DeSarmo with the George Wolf Memorial Jockey Award after dinner and on Sunday, and I was telling Kent, I think you've got a very live shot in this race. And one thing about my boy Jack, he should be finishing in this race. And, you know, with Kent and his ability to win these big races, I think that is a very dangerous horse in this race. So I got him at 20, and I think that's pretty much in the ballpark for him. So what thoughts do you have, Steve?
No, I thought the one of the things that jumped at me, I thought it made you hit all the salient points. You also anticipate Gronkowski taking money that he shouldn't. I mean, by all rights, he's a 50-to-1 shot.
That's right.
You've got him at 30 because of the name recognition. He's not Patch, but he is the name.
But you get that Patch feeling.
Story.
You really do, and that's the thing. Yep. That's exactly, you honed right in on that. And that's on pure paper. I would have him 50 for sure. Another thing, I don't really relish having even the 450s because of the fact that the Derby in recent years, we haven't had the radical long shots like we used to. So, I mean, it seems like the betting has been such in recent years that these horses that used to go off at 98 and 72 and so forth, they're going off closer, you know, to, you know, under 50s, a lot of them. So, but I'm also, again, using like the Kentucky, you know, the Church of the Downs pool and so forth. For instance, I mean, Promises Fulfilled, I kind of don't particularly relish making him 50, but he was a huge price in the Churchill Downs pool. He was, you know, way up there. So that indicates to me there's not that much support for him.
Yep, I agree. No, you're right. And you know, there's horses that are just going to get shunted down, you know, based on, don't forget, people are looking at PPs, and whether it's buyer numbers in the form, or you know, whether it's where the horse finished most recently, it's going to factor in. And there's no reason to think that he's taking any money. The values, Solomini, all the horses that might be coming and grinding away and from off the pace. Hofberg probably will take some money. He probably ends up closer to 20-to-1 than 30-to-1.
Yeah, I was debating on him back and forth. But
he could be a...
You know, again, I'm not sure, because, again, he's so light in experience. It is Mott, and I mean, it certainly wouldn't surprise me if you're right about that.
John, this was great. Next week, we will dig into the strike system, and we'll go through why they can win, why they can't.
Sounds great, Steve.
I appreciate it. John White revealed today as the individual that identified Oaklawn Stretch running downhill and then confirmed by surveyors. Huh? The stuff you learn. Thanks to Shug today, of course, and Randy Moss, to middle of the show guests. John White, we will get Jeremy Plonk in here tomorrow. Ron Moquette, of course, a lot of fun always. And Brad Cox, Andy Serling, and everybody for joining us back tomorrow, 9 o'clock, live. If you missed anything, 6 to 9 replay. And if you're looking to play today, how about Indiana getting started? Hope they have a great meet. Mahoning, Parks, Sunland, Turf Paradise, Will Rogers. Your action spots and Parks for Tuesday. Good luck, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
Latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Hey, folks, Eddie Olczyk here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Marilyn for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.